Lawmakers in the Nevada Senate are advancing a bill that could totally overhaul the way the state pays for public K-12 education. Senate Bill 543 would move the state away from the 52-year-old Nevada plan to what's called a weighted student formula. To break down what that means and how the shift could affect education for years to come, KUNR's Paul Boger spoke with Zahava Stadler, the policy director for EdBuild, a national nonprofit that studies the way states pay for schools.
What are some of the things that you see when it comes to public education funding on a nationwide level? Is this move towards a weighted funding formula kind of a common move that you're seeing?
It absolutely is. There are about 29 states that use a primarily student-focused school funding formula. And what that means is some version of what's being proposed right now in Nevada. So a base amount, a core amount per pupil that says, if you are a student with no special challenges, you're funded at this level, and then some additional way of adjusting that funding upwards for students that face additional challenges or have special needs. So that's the kind of thing that's being considered here. It is quite common nationally.
How does that program different than what you've seen in the past or what other states have done, namely the more categorical funding?
There are two different, what I would call old school models of school funding. One is to really fund resources, sort of a shopping list of inputs, whether that's, you know, teacher salaries or whiteboard markers, everything you need for a school, and have a really detailed shopping list of what you need, put that in. It tends to be really inflexible, really non-responsive to changes in the classroom. A similar idea is what you're talking about, this categorical funding, where it might not be the specific inputs, but it's the particular programs. So the state says, okay, we expect you to educate children in this particular setting, in this particular way. We'll give you money just for that. You must use it for that in one of the following prescribed 17 ways. And in those states, what you see is school funding that's basically a pile of grants, one on top of the other, that are all limited use. That might be ample funding or it might not be enough funding, but regardless, it really ties people's hands at the local level.
What kind of program do we have here in Nevada? Is it, you know, one of those that you just mentioned, or is it more towards that weighted formula?
Well, the way EdBuild currently categorizes Nevada's formula is a hybrid formula, including student-based and resource-based elements, which is a fancy way of saying there's a whole lot of stuff going on and it doesn't all work together. There is a per pupil amount in Nevada, but it ranges from district to district. It could be anywhere from $5,500 to almost $21,500, even though the average is down a little below $6,000. And then there is additional funding for students in particular categories, but it tends to be allocated on that program-based way, you know, the money for Zoom and Victory schools or the additional $1,200 that was passed, I think, last session for certain low-income students, certain English language learners. So it has the sense of a system that people have grafted new elements onto as need arose, without actually fundamentally reforming the system.
I think one of the interesting things that's going on here is that Nevada is an incredibly divided state when it comes to that urban-rural divide. I really don't think you see states quite like this. I mean, have you in your experience?
It's certainly the case in many states that urban and rural school districts have somewhat different needs and therefore different interests when this policy is being considered.
What I mean by that, though, is that are there more challenges for educating in rural areas, or is it, you know, have you seen in your experience more challenging to educate in urban areas, or is it kind of, you know, apples and oranges?
Yeah, I would say there are different challenges, and it's certainly true that rural communities face specific challenges. As it stands right now, Nevada doesn't have any increased funding for sparse districts or rural districts or necessarily small schools. And that actually places it quite in the minority. There are 34 states out there that have some kind of funding for rural, remote, or isolated, or small schools or districts. So the fact that Nevada does not have any such funding, despite how much of the territory in the state would fall in that category, is pretty surprising.
You know, when it comes to developing or implementing these sort of weighted formulas, you know, moving from one system to another, there are challenges, I assume, and I also assume that there's probably some pitfalls along the way. You know, what are some things that you've seen?
It tends to be not a very partisan conversation, which surprises a lot of people. What we tend to see in different states is that every legislator has constituents back home that send their kids to a school district or that work in a school district. Everybody lives in a school district and pays taxes to one. And what that means is that everybody's looking to see whether their funding is going to go up or down in a formula. And you can't expect the average citizen to be looking at the minutia of the formula structure. They're interested in the end result. And what that creates is a real challenge when you're trying to do structural reform, because unless you're bringing new money to the table, any structural reform is going to mean that some people wind up on the losing end, even if it's a really good structural reform, that's going to create real political challenges.
Zahava Stadler is the Director of Policy for EdBuild. Zahava, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Glad to be with you.